You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
She must be very good at seeing where it is your concealments are and what's the angle here. Did you volunteer? I'd like to see Padres Mets, or was it just Billy Joel? And she's like, wait a minute.
Well, it started, yes, with Billy Joel Sunday night, Madison Square Garden.
Oh, Billy Joel at the Garden.
She's never been to the Garden. She loves Billy Joel. She wants to see Billy Joel at the Garden.
Classic two birds.
Well, I was really, what I was trying to get out of the weekend was Mets Padres, Jets Dolphins, and then Billy Joel on a Sunday night.
Threefer.
But I never mentioned.
Mets Padres never came
the shell
up.
Shell game, Tony. Yes,
it is. It's Stugatz in his marriage.
The old three for one.
Is one of those street performers moving around in the streets of New York, moving the shells around, and you think you got it. You watch them play it moments ago. Clearly, you know where it is, and you always lose. There is no winning of the shell game, even though, because it's not under any of the shells, right? They've removed it. I'm pretty sure that you don't even have a 33% chance of guessing correctly at the shell game. And how do you guys imagine Abby's got to have gotten very good at this, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't think you get things past her. She can.
I mean, I came to her with, hey,
I've learned in less than a year.
Right.
What's going on with you at all times.
Yes. You and I have played the shell game many a times.
Yes, we have.
And you've never won.
No, I don't think you've ever won either, Whittingham. I believe.
You think you've won. That's the beauty of the shell game.
I believe you've lost all of them.
I scheduled a mean to come in for a full week when I thought you'd be off for a day because I was preparing for the shell game.
Shame.
Yeah. I have some
good job by you.
I have some breaking news here as Mike Ryan goes and wants an immediate line tonight on a Colts Broncos game that makes me sad a month in. That tonight's game, Thursday night game.
It's a big one, we've Dan.
Aggressively not watching.
We've gotten to sad already with me. So many injuries all over the place.
This game looks so good at the start of the season.
The Matt Ryan stats I gave the other day are crazy, where he's been sacked as much in four games as Phillip Rivers was in 16.
Matty Ice.
And
I mean, Colts are 1-2, Dan. They're right in the mix. I mean,
1-2-1.
Oh, 1-2-1, the coveted tie. Just a half game behind the Titans and the Jaguars.
I can't tell which quarterback has fallen off more in this matchup. Did you see what Rashad Penny said? He just had a huge game against the Lions, and he said that he feels more free to run when he doesn't have to worry about the quarterback messing with the plays. Seahawks hated Russell Wilson, hated him. And now when I watch Denver, I'm kind of hoping for Russell Wilson to change the plays because I hate that offense.
Low-key, Geno Smith has been like top seven in all quarterback categories. Like, he's playing really, really well.
It's crazy.
Well,
how?
You guys tell me this, okay? Warren Sharp... as we do all of this evaluation from all angles of this sport, trying to understand it better, doing deep dives. Tony is watching film and reviewing tape. Warren Sharp is pointing out that last year, the Arizona Cardinals on third down had an amazing conversion rate, a conversion rate that was well above what the expectation of the conversion rate should have been. And so the Cardinals started the season 10-1 and were like, holy shit, they're the best team in football. And then they fell apart. And since then, it's felt like you don't trust them to be disciplined or anything. You're waving around the contract clause on Kyler Murray and being like, that's just playground ball. But now the numbers, as there's been regression to the mean, they were first in the league in converting above the expectation last year. Now they're last in the league converting above the expectation. So what is the evaluation of Kyler Murray? a couple of seasons in. They've just given him the money. He got smeared with the contract clause that he's playing too many video games. You see Baker Mayfield being batted at the line all the time, 10 times. I don't think anyone disputes that Kyler Murray is great fun and is going to be great, correct?
I still think he's having a decent season. It's 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 991 yards passing.
But how do you feel about Arizona?
I feel like Arizona is one of those teams. If they get hot, if some guys...
You trust them? You trust Arizona?
I don't trust them right now, but I could see myself trusting them moving forward in large part because I think Kyler Murray will play even better than he's played right now.
Man, you're counting on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals to turn it on in the second half? That has not been their deal.
I mean, stranger things have happened in the NFL.
They've been the exact opposite. I actually think that there's two players that are always compared to each other because of their climb into the pros, their height. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and I think it's similar. But what Kyler has that Baker doesn't is his athleticism to lean on when the league has kind of caught on to his game. Baker had an amazing rookie season. The league adjusted to him. He had nothing else up his sleeve. Kyler can still do the backyard football thing. What happens when that goes? I don't know. Because he's reputed to not be able to study the game with the way that some of the other quarterbacks do. And now he's beefing with his quarterback, with his head coach on the sidelines. I'm very curious to see how this thing rides out.
I think the issue is you have a guy who is schematically not good in Cliff Kingsbury, and you match him with a quarterback that is not doing stuff at the line that makes sense for other quarterbacks to do. And you have this where there's wide receivers running routes that they're running into each other. Like, the scheme is just bad.
But that's wild to me, though, isn't it? Because Cliff Kingsbury came in to coach around Kyler Murray. They were very successful over
two
seasons.
Got rid of Josh Rosen. Made one of the clinical moves that McVay made that not a lot of these guys make, which is do the surgical hard decision, tear the Band-Aid off right now. Don't try to do it with Josh Rosen. Flip it over. You can do value at quarterback
Arizona
now.
Arizona did it after a year. Sean McVay coached Jared Goff for a couple seasons before letting him go. We went to a Super Bowl, and it was the end of the first. That was the first year done. I'm moving on to Kyler Murray. For me, the thing that's amazing is how quickly that narrative flipped. It went from
expectations changed. That's what happened.
9-0, 10-0. Right. Then they had a bad second half. Then they got embarrassed in the playoff game. Then they got off to an 0-2 start, and it's Cliff Kingsbury's bad. And it's like, how did that happen? So does it happen that quickly in the NFL?
Well, the reason I asked the question, the reason I went from Russell Wilson to Arizona is because, and I know the audience is tired of this, but I just think as a reference point, it's kind of fascinating. As they figure out that you need to have value at that position, you got to win in the margins with salary cap sport because there are no other places to win. You got to win by being better at evaluating players and finding value. And in that league, 6-time executive of the year, Bill Polian thought Lamar Jackson was not a quarterback. Wouldn't play quarterback in the league. That's how the talent evaluation was being done. Didn't matter. Smaller guys. Now Russell Wilson showed them. And Russell seems to have something that Tua doesn't have, right? Because I don't think of Tua, or I don't think of Russell Wilson as flimsy, but like mixed martial artists, I do think of him as someone who's learned how to fall. Someone who avoids contact so that he never got hit like RG3. But they've gotten smaller. All of those guys have gotten smaller. That used to not be a thing. I watched Baker Mayfield get 10 balls batted this weekend where I'm watching and I'm like, is J.J. Watt batting all of this? No, it's 2 or 3 guys who look like J.J. Watt who are wearing 90s and just holding up their hands and Baker can't get the ball over them. The reason I'm asking you all of this about Arizona and the game tonight that Mike is, 3.5? Desperately looking at the line?
3.5. I'm not going to tip my hand because I'm in a very competitive league with some people here in the studio. And I believe last week I tipped my hand and people tailed.
I've been poking around all week with you, like trying to get a feel for who you're taking tonight. Well, I'm going to say it right now. I'm taking Denver, just so you know. Okay.
You fool.
But go Oppo. The reason that I'm asking the question as the Colts try and go another old quarterback with Matt Ryan, because we kind of forget they've had to do that because Andrew Luck did something nobody was expecting. So since then, it's just been like, oh, bleep. We just got to go get guys, just somebody back there, because we were not expecting Andrew Luck to be the only one of these guys who quits early and leaves 10 years on the contract.
I'll never forget where Billy was when Andrew Luck did that.
Russell Wilson is what now, Mike? Do you trust your evaluations? They gave him 7 years, and I don't. I'm looking at that offense, and I'm like, how is that going to get better? I thought these guys had good skill talent. I think Judy's good, although Shannon Sharpe keeps telling me he's not. But is it going to be 16 points a game? Is that what it's going to look like?
I don't have faith in this head coach. He doesn't exactly inspire confidence. But I I'm a little shook. Russell Wilson was always one of my favorite players, and I was always team let Russ cook. And it seems as though, from quotes from Seattle players and seeing how Geno Smith is playing right now, that Russ cooking wasn't necessarily a good thing. I don't really know how to evaluate. Russell Wilson does not look good to me.
Have we ever seen what you're saying? The former players putting their name again and again on? I did not like Russell Wilson.
Not with a champion, no. I mean, we've seen it. We're seeing it with some of the people that you cited, with Baker Mayfield. Like, his former teammates talk shit about him all the time. But it's also Baker Mayfield. He doesn't have a social capital, really, to lean on. Russell Wilson's a Super Bowl champion. We've seen Russell Wilson will his team to victory by making unbelievable plays on his own like he were in a playground. I'm very stunned to see what's happened with the reaction from Seattle. There's a reason why Denver has so many primetime games this year. Everybody thought that was a good fit. That's a great situation. They were a quarterback away. Judy, Sutton, the two running backs that they have. This is a team that's primed and ready with a good defense, and they look bad to me.
When we talk about names at the position, brand management at the position, what you're going to do with your career, quarterbacks lead the way in the futures, dude. Guys, hell, Mark Sanchez is broadcasting games. Like, you can have a voice around this game forever if you're a quarterback. Russell Wilson has handled his brand in a very careful way, and at the end, be careful what you wish for, because he got out of Seattle where it appears.
Is he at the end?
He's 33.
But that's not the end anymore.
But look at what you were watching.
It's the beginning for some.
But it was the end for guys like Cam Newton.
Right.
But it's
Geno Smith's beginning.
It's not the end, though, because he just signed a 7-year deal. But I'm asking you, as I imagine Denver is asking itself, maybe they think it's all Hackett's fault. He can't coach. He's already brought a time manager in because he screwed things up. But at the end of games, I always used to fear, here comes Russell Wilson. Like, if there were always close games in Seattle and it was always at the end, oh my God, that's dangerous. You don't want him running around. You don't want him throwing the ball. Denver's constipated. I don't want to watch them. I don't want to watch Denver play football, even if they're going to win 19-16. I saw that with Teddy Bridgewater already. That's not what I want to be watching.
I enjoyed them way more last year.
No doubt, but guys,
I enjoyed watching Denver's run game way more last year than whatever this slop is. They need to fix it.
But we're going to erase 10 years of Hall of Fame level quarterbacking by Russell Wilson, and we're just going to bail on all that in 4 games?
I'm not erasing it. I'm just saying that
you don't think he can get it back?
The data points have changed for me a little bit, in which I grade his career as a whole. It's totally changed my prism. And is he going to be one of those guys that ages like Breeze did to a degree, like Rodgers is right now, like Tom Brady is? Now we're being convinced that that's the norm, when really, historically, Russell Wilson's at the age where you start seeing a dip. This is a very new phenomenon.
Stugatz is taking an easy position of that slanderous to write off a champion, a Hall of Famer, after 4 games, even though he's made a career of it. Stugatz has.
Dan, he's been great. I mean, the last 4 years, he has been great.
Stugatz, all I'm saying is that the first month of the season that I saw from Denver, all I'm framing for you is the story here, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know and don't care if Russell Wilson goes for 38 tonight, but I'm taking you inside his head. He's left Seattle for Denver. He's come over here. His coach doesn't seem to know what he is doing. He signed for a lot of money. His image, people kind of know that he's lame, and former teammates are now free to bash him again and again and again. He's got a game tonight that matters on a team I don't know he totally trusts, because why would he? Just got there. But he thought this was greener pastures, and that's the pressure on a quarterback's head. That's what happens when these guys are, you know, when you ask what's their mental toughness. Right there, Stugatz. It's not easy being Russell Wilson tonight. He might love playing football, but wouldn't you understand if his confidence was slightly shaken?
Yeah, I would understand it, but I don't think his confidence in himself is shaken. I think the confidence in what's around him is a bit shaken.
But when you're out there playing that game, Stugatz, those things
you need those people around you.
You can't be separated.
Right.
You can't separate those things. Like,
right.
And Mike is telling you that all these guys seem to have a problem with the way that he was doing it in Seattle. He could be at the end of games. He could erase all of that. Winning erases all of it. But Denver's not terribly interesting.
What he did in Seattle over the last 4 years, besides winning a Super Bowl, is 101 touchdown passes and 31 interceptions. Like, I'm not really interested
and seemed
in what his teammates
but
feel, you know?
Wanted to get out of there, though.
I know he wanted to get out of there, and he got out of there. He's in Denver, but I'm not writing Russell Wilson off because of a slow start.
He was booed by Seattle, Stugatz. Like, he was booed by the fan base as a beloved.
Well, Dan, it's a fan base that knows Russell Wilson wants to leave that fan base. Of course they're going to boo him. What are they supposed to do?
Yeah, that changed perception a little bit. And to go back to the original topic with Kyler Murray, is what's happening to him right now in accelerated career arc that we're seeing right now in Denver with Russell Wilson. It's like Kyler can cook and get you out of bad situations, but for how long can he do this? Is Cliff Kingsbury all of a sudden bad at quarterbacking when Patrick Mahomes stands by Cliff Kingsbury, says he helped them? Or is Patrick Mahomes that gifted? Which actually leads me to my stat of the day.
Oh, you have a stat of the day?
I have a stat of the day that will knock your socks off.
I don't believe it.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
I've got one too.
Wow.
I've got one too.
All right. How many invasions of Mike Schur's turf can we have in one show?
Oh, this predated Mike Schur. Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah. All right. On Monday night, Patrick Mahomes can pass Troy Aikman on the all-time passing touchdowns list.
What's that number, Mike? How many would he need?
If he gets well, four.
Top five overrated quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl.
If he gets four, he passes Troy Aikman and ties Brad Johnson.
What? Johnson's ahead of Aikman?
Yeah. Troy Aikman had 165 passing touchdowns.
We've been doing quarterback evaluations badly since Brad Johnson and Troy Aikman.
Patrick Mahomes. Excuse me. Medication.
Yeah, I know.
Been fighting it all day. Medication, guys.
Yeah.
I'm very anxious. Patrick Mahomes has 162 passing touchdowns in his career. So how many times have we seen Patrick Mahomes pass for three touchdowns? Like in a first half, he could tie him with Troy Aikman on the call, coincidentally, which would be awkward for Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, because if he passes Troy Aikman, you all of a sudden have to hold the light to, wait a second, how the hell did that happen, Troy? How overrated are you?
One of my favorite songs, Devil Went Down to Georgia, Stugatz, the devil has to put down his bow because he's been defeated. My stat of the day has been defeated, but I still do like that Tyreek Hill has more receiving yards than the Bears.
That's a great stat.
It's pretty good, but I feel
you
like
might win.
I think yours better, honestly.
What? Patrick Mahomes has played football for really 4 years, five years?
5 years.
Yeah, but he missed his rookie season.
Right.
Because he was behind Alex Smith.
Yeah, still should be.
Troy Aikman played 11. Let's see where Alex Smith is on this list.
Let's go.
Hang on. I want to see where Alex Smith is on the all-time passing touchdown.
Play it again, because Stugatz, one of the all-time worst takes. It's such a great, terrible take that you.
Hey, Alex Smith, at 199 career touchdowns, wow. He is tied with Derek Carr for 48. Derek Carr has 199 passing touchdowns.
No, he's got more than Namath, right?
Yeah. Like, Namath. Back. No, I think. With a really good game. Well, no, he's not going to. Patrick Mahomes is going to pass Namath in 2 weeks.
Can I stand up for shitty old quarterbacks?
Sure.
It was a completely different sport. They threw 20 times a game. There was no precision. Receivers could get the shit beaten out of them. The quarterbacks could get the shit beaten out of them. It's harsh.
Marino's still up there. 84, Marino. Still
I know,
up
but
there.
That's why he's a supernova in the history of football. Like, I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time because he's that much better relative to his era, but... I mean, I don't know. Life just seems easier for quarterbacks now.
Steve McNair had a 10-year run. His nickname was Air, for God's sakes. Patrick Mahomes is going to pass him in 3 weeks.
I'm looking up as we speak here the statistical line for Bob Greasy in a Super Bowl. Yes, 8 for 11 for 88 yards. I think that might have been the good one. I think that would have been the explosion.
With four passing touchdowns tonight, Russell Wilson can actually tie John Elway all time in passing touchdowns.
Jesus.
All right, I need to get to a bit of news that I have not gotten to.
But considering his trajectory, he might get to that next season.
I have been remiss, Stugatz. We have not updated the story. I'm assuming that everyone here would want an update on this story because it was a rare viral baseball moment, bigger than Aaron Judge's, when Tommy Pham slapped Joc Pederson in the head and was suspended for 3 games. And I have not gotten Tommy Pham's side of this. Have you guys gotten Tommy Pham's side of this? Because I'm just reading for the first time in an interview with the Boston Globe, he is quoted as saying, if anything, Jock's lucky I didn't hurt his ass even worse. So this is months later. It's still a fantasy football or fantasy baseball beef. I don't even know which fantasy it is. It must be football, right?
I think it was football, yeah. Tommy Pham just not letting it go.
Regarding the Jock situation, I don't feel sorry for what I did. There's a certain level of respect that was crossed. Jock was disrespectful, and I don't condone the way he was talking to me in the group chat through the text. I don't condone that. And I just love athletes being as childish as the rest of us. And that group texts, someone goes over the line in group texts, and next thing you know, Joc Pederson is getting slapped. And we all side with Tommy Pham. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be a jackass when my emotions are inflamed. And he was also making fun. Joc Pederson and others were making fun of the Padres in that. And Tommy Pham is still holding on to a grudge all this time later.
A lot of Twitter tough guys out there, Dano. And when you see him in person, you got to recognize, hey, I'll slap the back of your head. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, that's Tommy Pham. I don't know how many baseball.
Do.
Yeah. I don't know how much baseball has like that. I don't know that baseball has many guys. Now everyone in the sport knows there's a line not to be crossed with Tommy Pham.
In a group text, yes.
Because he's still holding on to it. If he sees Joc Pederson again, he's going to do it again. He's telling the Boston Globe the 3-game suspension was worth it. I still feel disrespected in the group text.
He didn't get his money's worth yet.
I know next to nothing else about Tommy Pham.
I wouldn't know if Tommy Pham was sitting in our studio right now.
He's been in the big leagues for many years with, I think, many teams. And I would look like I would because I just looked him up on the internet, his image.
What's he look like?
To just find he's someone who's
Tommy
not
Pham
to be trifled
black.
With.
What?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me. I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for Game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there. And I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
I don't want to be too extreme on this, but he failed America.
Stugats.
Okay. Very good.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
We got a good one October 15th, Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The big men with the good nicknames, the Bronze Bomber against the Nordic Nightmare. Always enjoy talking to Deontay Wilder. Thank you again for making time for us. Deontay, where are you joining us from today?
I'm back home, my hometown of Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
The reason I wanted to talk to you about that is because you and I have talked some about your upbringing and some of the things that you did too and why you go back home. So can you just tell people about the time before boxing, what your life was like, the details that you remember that shaped the path for you to get into boxing?
Yeah, well, the time before boxing, I was working at an IHOP at one point in time. And then while being in college, I was at a community college, Shelton State. I had discovered that I had a child on the way, and I had to drop out of college, and I ended up getting another job as well. But while being in college, I had a friend that we always used to discuss what we were trying to do in life and what are the things we was trying to do to get there, because talk is cheap, you know, and unless you apply actions to it, that's the only way you see some progress start to form. And he thought I told him I'm going to start boxing because of my daughter. My daughter was born with spina bifida. And that was the most scariest times of my life, being 19 years old, not really knowing what I was going to do, how my life has dramatically changed for me. And then that's when I got into boxing. I thought it would be something that I could do and make some money and don't have to go to school. So I joined the gym in Tuscaloosa, and the rest from there is, long story short, it was history then.
When you mentioned the IHOP, was that part of the four jobs you had as an amateur boxer? Because you were working four jobs at once, were you not?
I was working three at one point in time, all at once. But this was all before boxing.
What was the worst of those jobs? I'll talk to you about boxing in a second, but I'm always fascinated by the career path because I think it's crazy, Deontay. I think it's to make that choice, you make it sound easy just because you're a big puncher and everything. You make it sound easy, but that choice is a brutal one to have to make for your daughter. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to earn my living with my fists. And that's what I've got. I got my feet, I got my fists, I got my chin, and I'm going to earn a living that way. It's most people who make that decision have arrived at a real crossroads in life, because it's a difficult decision to make with your health, with your life, with your child's life.
Yeah, that's definitely correct. We had an opportunity to terminate the pregnancy when the doctor gave us certain options, and we knew what we was facing, me and her mother. And you know, for me, I'm an energy person. I go off of energy felt, whether I meet people, whether I go in a certain establishment, you know, different things off the energy felt. And I just felt like that my daughter was meant to live a life. You know, I was willing to accept all challenges, you know, that came behind her and her needs, her special needs that was going to be required for her to maintain a healthy life. And, you know, fighting was the only thing that I knew that was going to, I can be able to be a professional. I always want to be in some type of professional sport. And that was my only option. I felt that would get me there and can make an honest living and get to the top. I told my daughter when she was 2 years old, I looked in her eyes and said, Daddy's going to be a world champion. And I'm going to be able to support you beyond your belief. And I fulfilled that promise for her.
When did you know that your punch was special?
I always could handle myself. You know, streetwise, I always, you know, but when I got into boxing, let's say more organized fighting, when I got into boxing, I first started off as I wanted to come into the gym. I didn't know nothing about amateur boxing and none of that. You know, I knew very little about the Olympics with Muhammad Ali and stuff like that, but I didn't know nothing about amateur boxing and getting to the Olympics and all that. So once I joined the gym, I came in to be a journeyman. And a journeyman is a professional fighter with zero to maybe a few fights, and he's just on his journey to the top, because I needed money right now to support my daughter that had a special need. You know, I couldn't wait around. I wasn't gonna wait around, and just joining the gym, I used to support all pros. That's what I wanted to get prepared for. So I would support all the pros in there. It's starting out. And I ended up sparring this one pro. He had a nice build about himself, real heavy. Had a bald head with a gold teeth. You know, he'll chuck it at times when he look at you, to intimidate you. And I remember in the first round, I was getting in with this fighter, and I wanted to test myself. I was going to see we're going to see what happens. Because, you know, most of the time you can get through the workout, but can't get through the sparring. And then sometimes you can get through the sparring, but can't handle the workout. We can get through the workout, no problem. Let's see what I can do as a heavyweight. with sparring another professional heavyweight as being an amateur. So in the first round, I laid this man down within a couple of seconds of the first round. And as he held his head up while still laying on his back, he looked at me. He looked at my trainer. He looked back at me with a smile and looked back at my trainer. He said, "This guy right here is strong. Keep him in here." And from that point on, it kind of gave me some type of motivation or some type of high self-esteem of like, man, I can really do this. I got power, you know, which I've always known I've had power because, you know, the saying is don't read a book by its cover. I've always been that product of don't read a book by its cover. And I always can be able to do things that others could do but have a smaller frame. You know, even doctors now tell me, they say they don't see how I hit so hard with the frame that I have, that the frame that I have, as far as my body is concerned, it doesn't match my power. So no matter what I do, if whatever I hit, either I'm going to destroy the thing I hit, destroy my hands, or it's going to be both. And most of the time, it's both.
So you expected to just be a journeyman? You expected, I'm going to make a quick couple of bucks here and there, but I'm not going to dream of championships. I just need to make money now. Take us back to where you were, Deontay, right then. Take us to the amount that you're fighting for and take us to the struggle of whether or not you're doubting whether you can make this a career. At that point, you're just going check to check, right?
Well, I haven't made any money at that point in time. When I had the discussion of becoming a journeyman, I haven't even entered into the rankings of anything yet. It's just me discussing my plans of what I want to do and why I'm joining this gym. Like I said, during that time, the Olympics was coming around, the 08 Olympics, and I joined the gym in 2006. So they had the 07, where was all the tournaments was happening to make it to the Olympics trials and all that and different things to get on the Olympics team. It didn't make no sense for me to become a journeyman at that time when I could become an amateur, make the Olympics team, and then when I get out of the Olympics, I get a big signing bonus, a plus along with a major promotion comp. And now my money has doubled or even tripled, depending on how my career may go in life. So I chose to take the path of becoming an amateur boxer instead of a journeyman. Because it was foolish of me not to, although I needed the money at the moment in time, but good things come to those who wait, and I understand patience, because patience is of a virtue. We're human, so we're always going to want things, and when we want them, nobody wants to wait. We want them right now, and I understand that, but at that moment in time, I had to weigh out my options. I had to really be smart. I had to strategically plan and think what would make sense and what would be wise, because when I do things, even when I invest my money, I'm investing for long term, not short term. So with that being said, I had to invest my body, mind, and soul into boxing, and knowing what I was getting into, that I was going to be getting my head hit at times and stuff, and understand that the head is not meant to be hidden in the first place. Your brain is never meant to be shooken. But I would risk my life for my daughter, as any parent should, for their child, to do any and everything for them, even if he's willing to die for them. And that's what I was willing to do.
Let me ask you some questions about money. The Bronze Bomber, Nordic Nightmare, October 15th, Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Just a couple of quick questions. The first money you made for a fight was blank. What was the very first money you made with your fists? What do you remember about it?
Ah, man, I try to go. I've had this question asked of me before, and I can't think of my first. I know my first professional fight was in Nashville, Tennessee. I was fighting a Jermaine and Corey Spence card, and I think I made maybe a couple of $100,000. My first one, maybe $300,000, something like that. I don't know. Some up in that area.
And what is the one that you remember looking at? The check that you remember looking at, or the direct deposit you remember looking at, and being like, "Holy shit! I can't believe my dreams have come true." Is it that one or another one?
When I made my first million, it was over a million, but that was my first million. When I struck the millionaire, that was when I knew I made it. Because with that million, you know, sometimes people are like, what would you do with a million? You don't know what you would do with a million. I know what I'd do with that million. And when I got my million, I immediately started investing. Immediately.
Let me ask you about the investment of money and what a dirty business it is. Because, okay, let's start there.
Don't you dare.
That one got your attention. Let's start there. Explain to us what a dirty business it is. Give us some of the examples, because I can't imagine it's a good idea to try to steal money from you or try to get over on you. I think that's unwise.
A dirty business in the boxing business?
Yes, it is a dirty business.
Yeah, it is. It is a dirty business. It's like, I love this business though. I'm in this business because I signed up for it. And with behind this business, and when you sign up for it, in your mind, you have to understand that in this business, you are risking your life for others' entertainment. You know what I'm saying? You're risking your life for others' entertainment. And in this business, it's going to be a lot of shady people, a lot of people that's going to try to get over on you. But there's going to be a lot of people in here that love you as well. You just got to know how to differentiate between the two and know how to feel the energy and the vibe and the aura and the things that comes around you. Because in this world, we not only have to be physically protected, but we have to be spiritually protected as well. And ask God for clarity and confirmation from all things and all human beings. Because in this business, you can have your brother, your uncle, your friend, your trainer, your manager, so many guys that will cross you in this business. But on the other side, you got so many that will love you. And that's the scary part about it. You don't know. You're just like weeding through. Everybody is trying to get money. When you have a business that have the green eye monster, you always got to stay clear. You always got to be aware.
How often have
of
you
your
been
surroundings and things?
How often have you been burned? How often have you been burned there, or hurt? I would say, never mind burned, just hurt. Where you're like, oh man, you too.
Oh man, I have to let it out. That's the only way that you can really understand and feel what I mean. Like they say you never go back in the past and think about old things because you bring up old emotions. And old emotions is coming out of me. It just, without words, it transformed into sound. And sometimes sound we can understand better than words.
The reason that I ask you the question, though, is because of the way that you described it, where you went through family members, you went through trainers, people that you have to give your trust, and you feel like they love you, but you just don't know the temptations that are around every corner.
Oh, man. And that's the scary part about it. And when the green eye monster is involved with anything, you got to be aware of all things, family, friends, foes. I mean, because money, for the love of money, is the root of all evil. And in this world, how it's set up, they have us thinking that money, we need money to do all things. And, you know, really in this world, we need a lot of TLC, you know, but money will make a person change. Money will make a person that say they love you take from you, but in the same sentence say they love you. You can have them around your children. You can fly them to many places that they've never been and never would have seen without you. You can pay for all the bills, all the expenses, and still they had the audacity, they had the courage, the bravery to still take from you. Because they feel obligated, or maybe they feel that you have reached a certain part of success in life that it ain't gonna matter. He ain't got it. Or maybe he won't even notice that it's gone. It's so many scenarios and situations and cases that have been formed, not only just with me, but others as well. And it's crazy because you just don't know who will get, you know, possessed. And their mindset changed into that formation of like, damn, I'm going to steal for somebody that I say I love. I've looked them in the eyes and gave them hugs many times and maybe even cried. I love him, but I'm going to take from him. It's a mess. It's a mess, man. And when you have those you can trust and those that say they really love you and you know they love you for sure, you hold them tight and you don't let them go. You hold them tight. Because when people say things to you, it's just like when I meet certain people or when they meet me. Because a lot of people, look at me and their perspective of me is what they think I am in the ring. I am a beast in the ring. I have to transform to whoop some ass. And then after that, I come back to Deontay Wilder. And the perspective of me is thinking how I am and portray myself in the ring. I am that same character outside of that ring. But I am a man that understands intelligence, although I'm from a small place, but that don't define my mind because my mind's so big a spaceship can fit in it. But I understand that I'm in a world that my characteristics for myself, what I believe in, what I stand for, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I stand for something, and I'm passionate about what I stand for and what I say, especially when I speak for my people and all people. For I know that you may not remember my name, but you will never forget how I made you feel. You know, and you have somebody that you can trust in this business, man. You got to hold on to them. Sorry. And I got a lot of those in there, too. I mean, it's a lot of dirt go on in this business, but it's a lot of good that come from it as well. You just got to weed out. You had to weave out the negative energy. And sometimes that takes years, you know, because you just certain people just change as you grow. You have to still be observing around your surroundings and see what people grow with you, because everybody's not meant to grow with you. Everybody's not meant to gain success with you. Certain people have certain points where they have to get off. My ship has finally come. Now it says, instead of all aboard, is get the hell out.
You mentioned having to handle yourself or having confidence for handling yourself before you ever got into boxing. Do you remember when you lost the fear of fighting?
I never had fear. Even the Bible said, have no fear, for thou rod, thou staff are with me, thou comfort me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So how I grew up, fighting was something of a regular. It was normal living for me. It's something that I knew if I exit my home that this would be a consequence that I may face just, you know, exiting my home and maybe go up the street, whether I'm going to play basketball or get in the playground and swing or maybe walk down the street to the store. At any given moment, given time, you know, you can be a product of a situation where you ain't did nothing. You don't want to bother no one. You come in peace until somebody disturbed the peace and you had to, you know, protect yourself. I always say I never look for trouble, but trouble always found me.
Did you like because it? When did it, you like fighting? Did you or did you? If you have, if you have no fear of it, you didn't like fighting.
I didn't like it at all. But my father didn't teach us to surrender or bow down to anyone, although he was a. At that point in time, he was a minister. He's a pastor now. I've always been a PK. But one thing about it, my daddy always told me to take care of my brothers and sisters. Always protect them. Never let harm come to them. And if it do, you shield them, protect them. Y'all work together. He always taught that, to work together, love each other, work together, provide for each other. And that's what I teach my children, because in this cold world, it's a cold world. It'll eat you up and chew you and spit you out. And if you don't have no one to depend on, then you're a lost soul.
Have you fought very much professionally with hate in your heart?
Not much at all. You know, I don't really try to go in the ring with hate unless it's a personal issue with between me and that person or whatever, or they've done some things that have they advanced themselves to do certain things or cheated me, basically. You know what I mean? I don't go with hate in my heart. You know, I don't even go in the ring mad. You know, I don't have to be mad. I don't have to have nothing on you to want to whoop that ass. You know, that comes with it. I open up that can and they just come on out. I mean, it's a business. And when I'm done, I go home to my family, you go home to yours, and we've made it. We done beat the inevitable twice because it's already coming. But we tried to give it to them too by beating each other up. But we survived, and, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing when you can go in the ring and come out and survive. It's called surviving the jungle. It's a jungle in there.
The Bronze Bomber, the Nordic Nightmare. It's October 15th, Saturday, Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Why should they be watching? Why should they? Why should this fight mean something to them? How do you feel about the Nordic Nightmare?
Man, Nordic Nightmare. Robert, I personally feel he's a great guy. You know, he came to my camp many times. He didn't help me out many times. And they say iron sharpens iron. So we'd had many sessions in there. And one thing I like about Robert that he fights with his heart. I fight with my heart as well. You know, and that what controls the body. Your mind doesn't control the body. A lot of people think the mind controls the body. It doesn't. Your heart controls the body. Because many times your mind can tell you to give up, quit. You can't do it. Then when people throw emotional garbage at you, you let it sit up in your being. And then be like, yeah, they said I can't do this, I can't do that. So you don't do nothing. But your heart will say, I'll die for this. I'll die for what I believe in. We both got heart of we got warrior hearts, and it's going to be an amazing fight when you got two warriors in there and fight with their hearts, and they're determined to win. This is for the WBC title eliminator. And also, I hear that if Robert is successful, he's become the mandatory of Usyk belts. But I also heard Usyk would be there, and he said he want to fight the winner of this fight. So this is a huge fight. You know, it's a lot of titles on the line. Whether you're going for the WBC or whether you're going for the other four major belts all in one. So this is a beautiful fight that has a lot on the line. And with a lot on the line, you know, yeah, man, the lion got to come out at some point in time. Whatever the spirit animal are you, it got to come out because that's when it counts. And this is so much on the line. And Robert has never been to this place before, like I have. I've been on the top for a very long time. You know, I endeavor so much. I obtained so much success and obtained so much glory from it. You know, where my life is beautiful. On the other hand, he haven't tasted before. He haven't been in these territories before. So he's seeking to become this and seek it and to gain greatness. And here I am to come in my second reign and continue to gain greatness as well, because I understand how many people I motivate and inspire. Some people live up to every word that I say. So I'm very important. I have to watch what I say at times, but I only can speak my piece. I'm the realest. Fox. I'm the bronze bomber, one of the baddest men on the planet. And with this fight, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. Two giants that's determined, that got a warrior heart, a warrior spirit, and a warrior mindset. Man, this is a fight that you don't want to miss, because when the bronze bomber is in the ring and in the action, you know you can't sit. You have to sit on the edge of your seat. You can't go nowhere. Don't go to the bathroom. You can't even go to the concession stand and get your favorite hot dog or pizza, because you don't know when it's going to happen, but you know it's going to happen. And when it happens, bam, baby, good night.
Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view. It is being headlined by Deontay Wilder, and he's fighting Robert Hellenius, the Nordic Nightmare. Thank you. Appreciate it, Deontay. Good catching up with you, sir.
Man, anytime, brothers. And I hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed day.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.